Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the whole key to it, Bob. It's just taking an easy swing. It's like life. If I learn, I won't speak for anybody else, just to let go a little bit, it can really make things easier. And in golf, I was at Bedford Springs this weekend. I played that
beautiful
course twice,
place,
as I said, and got a 91 yesterday. The greens, who's Donald Ross?
Is Donald that, Ross, yeah. That's one of the old-time architects, and they do really good work, that whole group.
Oh, my gosh. You've played that course? Well, the greens were very difficult, but as far as hitting the ball, it's the best I ever struck the ball. Here's the other beauty of it, Bob. I was the first guy on the tee. I was behind four people that I recognized from the night before, and they were all hungover, and they were at 9 o'clock. And they said, "Are you a single?" I said, "Yes." They said, "Go ahead." Bob, one of the most beautiful golf courses, if not the most beautiful, that I've ever played. And I was by myself and had a 2-hour round and shot a 91 that if somebody who knew how to putt better had all my shots except putts, they would have shot in an 82. That's how good it was, Bob, and I'm feeling good today.
And that's a great place to be. It's a tranquil place to be. And so therefore you feel like you're kind of out away from everything,
yeah,
which relaxes you and in turn makes your swing a little less chaotic. You know what I mean? You're just relaxing. You're taking your time. Therefore, your backswing can be more just tempo.
God invented golf clubs for a reason, to do the work.
But you're going to find out, like you do with losing weight. You get to a certain point, you can put a bunch of it off quickly. But then you get to from the 90s to the 80s, it takes time. From the 80s to the 70s, it takes a lot of time. And most of what you said is true. It's all putting. If you can just putt better, man.
One swing at a time.
How much do you practice putting? You probably never do.
A lot.
Like I never do.
I always do.
Yeah. I need to do it.
Did you have a nice weekend? Restorative like mine was?
I worked Saturday and Sunday, so I don't know how restorative it was, but it was fine.
You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today, dressed in green, maybe a little early Christmas outfit for you.
I just have a lot of golf clothes that I don't necessarily wear, and so when I get a chance to wear them, I want to wear them.
Well, you just got another one
there. Yeah, Mr. Greg Sipos. Wasn't it fun playing with him and Brad?
He was great. And he brought us gifts last week, and I kept yours nice and...
I got it. Thank you, and thank you, Greg. I appreciate that.
Folded up at home, and now you have it. A nice Oakmont t-shirt for you, Bob, to add to your collection.
Let's go to the gym with the Oakmont t-shirt. Tee off in there.
Limits, how would you describe your state of mind and physical well-being?
Flustered and emotionally damaged.
After a 25-24 loss.
What'd you say?
Flustered and emotionally damaged.
From the Penn State game?
Yeah. No, altogether, I'm doing well. At this point, it's just the point is mute on what the season is. They're going to lose to Ohio State. They're going to lose to Indiana.
How about if they don't? How about they shock the world and win both of those games?
I think they're going to win
one of them. Sure, are we on Mars?
Yeah. I'm just saying. Hey, listen, I saw Denver come back from a 19-0 deficit in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Bob, I haven't seen really a game like that had those kinds of feelings. Like, this is crazy. Since Bills were down 35-3 to the Oilers all those years ago, like what has happened. Now, there was a great comeback recently.
It was your Buffalo Bills against the Ravens in the opening week.
That was a late game. They're down 15. Yeah, they get a turnover. It was incredible.
Still 15 late
but
in the fourth quarter like
not
that.
Not like that. The Broncos had no points going into the fourth quarter, and they finished with 33 without the benefit of overtime. I think 1,600 teams in a row that were down 19 or something with 6 or less minutes left, 1,600 teams in a row had lost that game, Bob. It was phenomenal. Were you?
I watched the whole thing.
I couldn't watch it because it wasn't on here. I was stuck with George Pickens.
Well, he had a pretty good game again, too.
I know
too.
He did.
But we have those monitors down there, so we're watching a bunch of them. And I'm looking at that game thinking, Brian Daboll's going to end, Jackson Dart looked pretty good and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, they score, get a two-point conversion. And the key to this game was two-point conversions and missed extra points. But then it's 19-8. They come right back down and score. So it's 26-8.
Right.
There's only like 8 minutes left in the game. There's no heartbeat.
No chance.
They needed to bring in those paddles and try to get everybody back in shock on Denver. And lo and behold,
Dart gave him one.
Dart gave him one.
I'll tell you what, though. I agree with Kyle Brandt. Even though that was a horrific loss, and I think the Giants headline said it well, worst loss ever. Except didn't they have weren't they the team that had the Miracle in the Meadowlands go against them? Edwards,
you're talking
right?
About Joe Pisarcik?
Yes.
That game?
Yeah, that was the Giants.
That was the Giants.
The New York Daily News is saying worse. They're rating this worse than that.
You forget going back or how devastating that loss was and because of the circumstances of it.
Right.
Yeah, but.
But anyway, that was
what did
phenomenal.
Kyle Brandt said about.
Kyle Brandt said, I don't care. I still feel good because we have a guy. Jackson Dart was really good yesterday. And Bo Nix, my NFL MVP, was unbelievable in the fourth quarter.
Especially in that last drive where
Bobby scored 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, 2 running, 2 passing. And every time I watch a game these days like that or a college game, all I can think about is the Steelers' future quarterback. Who is it or who should it have been? Who will it be? Limits the other day tweeted out the Penn State misses Drew Aller. Can you believe that, Bob?
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. I would agree with that assessment, by the way. I think if he had been in there that day, they would have won that game. They're up 21-10.
What I said was people should have a newfound respect for Drew Aller after watching that performance.
Because he's better than a horrible quarterback?
Well, he would have given them something there that they did not get in that game. So from that point of view, I get it.
He's a profound disappointment, are they. They're one of the most disappointing sort of collapsible teams in college football history. Collapsed teams, I should say, having been ranked number 2 in the country. But that isn't what we came here to talk about, Bob, is it?
No, but we started there because we go in different directions, which I like.
Because we like to take an early shot at limits.
No one's denying that point, though, too, that this has been an absolutely disastrous, awful, the worst season in program history on the football field.
Yeah, nobody's denying that. But you know what this is, Bob? This is a big week for the Steelers. And I went back and looked today. And I would argue that this is the Steelers' highest profile game leading in, sort of from a national perspective and local perspective. Their highest profile matchup out of division since the Jesse James game, when the Patriots came in 10-3, the Steelers were 11-2, and everybody was watching Nance and Romo, I believe, on that one.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a great game, but the lead in was giant. Mike Tomlin had already been bragging that they would face each other again in the AFC title game. And maybe including that one, and maybe including the division, this might be the Steelers' highest profile matchup in terms of the excitement that it's stirring. And the Aaron Rodgers factor is obviously what makes it so, but also two teams that are, a combined 8-3-1, I think. Him going against his old team, an all-time great. The Packers coming in here on a Sunday night. It might be the Steelers' highest profile matchup in a decade.
You're probably right. When was the Christmas Day game with Antonio Brown with the extension?
Same year as the Jesse James game. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was like leading up to that. I just know it was Christmas Day. And
huge,
it was
because it was going to be, I think, pretty much for the division, as I recall.
Yeah, Baltimore and Pittsburgh for the division. That's what it was. So that was big.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think that Patriots game, everyone was, because it's Tom Brady. It's quarterbacks always get the attention, and they had two good ones on display there. This is Aaron Rodgers, pure and simple. The guy who was drafted, Jordan Love, who is eventually going to take his job, going against the guy who is back, taking on his team. And I don't care what he says leading up to this, just like he did with the Jets. He didn't say anything all week. But I guarantee you, after the game, if they win, he will tell you what this means to him. And he did it in New York after that game. So,
and it's a night game.
Yes.
And the Packers made one of the highest profile trades in the history of the league to go out and get Micah Parsons. All of that, mostly the Rodgers factor, but you add it all up. And I honestly believe that. I'll call it their highest profile game since Brady and the Patriots came here for the Jesse James game, which was basically for the top seed in the AFC that year. Certainly out of division, I think, but probably overall. Looking ahead to Ben's retirement game against Cleveland, that was big. But I'm talking nationally. I'm talking the whole country going to be watching this. One of the greats of all time going against his old team here. And the fact that he's playing really well. Micah Parsons is coming off a 3-sack game. Bob, you throw it all in the pot
like
there.
A toss salad. Just throw it all together.
Yeah,
put
in
some
a bowl.
Dressing
okay,
on.
A bowl.
You don't even
we'll
need
throw
dressing
it in a bowl.
On this one. It's already come with.
No, you don't need dressing limits on this
listen,
one.
Listen, I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to play a tremendous game. And coupled with the fact with how that game ended Thursday night and the fact that it's his former team and they need him. And I think just he's one of those guys who rises up to these occasions. He will. Now, the other thing going for the Steelers is they play well on Sunday night. As bad as they are on Thursday, they come back on Sundays, and they're one of the best teams. And Tomlin is really good after losses on Thursday. Somehow, some way, they regroup. So I think this is – and Green Bay has a lot on their line, too. I mean, they're looking for potentially a number one seed.
Yes,
and they're
they 4-1
are. And 1 right now, so all these games matter.
It's also – and tell us if you agree or disagree with that, that – it's, I think anyway, it's the Steelers' highest profile game since the Jesse James game. Out of division, certainly, but maybe overall. And how I define that is, you know, the entire country has its eyes on Pittsburgh and will be watching this game with great interest for all the reasons that we just delineated. But I also believe, Bob, and off the top presented by JP Roofing and Siding, I also believe it's a prove-it game and a swing game for the Steelers. I don't know what they are yet. I mentioned last week that Pony and the PM guys threw out the question late in the week. Is this team closer to great or average? And as high as I was coming off Minnesota and Cleveland, I still said they're closer to average. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. That's A. And B, suddenly if the Bengals beat the Jets, which everybody does, including Carolina, and the Steelers lose this game, which they easily could because Green Bay's good. I don't think they're great, but they're very good, and they're pretty good in all areas. Then all of a sudden we're looking at a 4-3 team that has another tough game right after that in Indy. Maybe it's toughest game of the year for all we know because they looked great yesterday. So this is a gigantic game, I think, in terms of believability and their spot in the division and the AFC, even though it's an interconference game, for the Steelers. Do you agree with that?
Totally. I mean, they got to right the ship also coming off of that performance on Thursday night. And I don't know, I agree with your assessment, I don't know what this team is right now in terms of how they play defense. Because if you look at the first three games, and that includes their win in New England, right? They still gave up so many yards, rushing yards, passing yards.
Yeah.
And then they've rectified it when they went to Dublin, that got better, and then the Browns game got better. Again, it's rookie quarterback. I get all that. But I thought for sure they would come after Joe Flacco. They did not and paid the price, so they're back to giving up tons of yards. The run game, man, to see Chase Brown just carve them up was stunning to me. I didn't think they could do that. I thought they would pass the ball, but not like that. So I don't know what this team is right now.
I don't either.
And they're going to have to figure that out consistently because after that game this week, you're right, they have the Colts at home.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Colts are real. 6-1. They went out to the Chargers and really just destroyed them. It was not even that close as the final score indicated, as you hear that a lot. Then the Bengals come here. And what are we to make of the Bengals at that point? You're right. They may get a couple of wins here, and all of a sudden they come here. Tiebreakers are huge in this division.
I mean, they're so bad defensively that it's hard to take them seriously. It really is. And who knows? Maybe they won't shred teams like they shredded the Steelers. The Steelers have this penchant defensively on certain weeks going back years now just to get absolutely annihilated in seemingly unlikely spots. And Flacco had beaten them, so maybe it wasn't so unlikely. But what about their first game of the year this year? Did you see what Justin Fields has done since then? Last week he had minus 10 yards passing. Yep. You or I could get 0 yards passing, Bob. Minus 10? This week he's benched in the third quarter with 45 yards passing. The Steelers made him look like Joe Montana in that game. How do we wrap our minds around that? And then, you know, Mike Tomlin gets all kinds of credit for his record in one score games. And I would say that some of that is deserved, and some of that is his overall philosophy and how he has a penchant for turning games that never should have been one score games into one score wins. The Jets, we realize now how truly awful they are. Like maybe
the Steelers should have lost that game.
And they won by two. The Vikings game, a one-score game that miraculously became a one-score game late because of Tomlin. The Browns game almost became a one-score game late, Bob. And then, won another one-score game. I don't know. I'm not that overly impressed with that. I don't know what this team is. And I think Green Bay will tell us something. I think it will.
Yeah, it's a pretty good test, and they have to figure out, I think, both their identity on offense and defense. They want to try to run the ball. Green Bay is one of the best at stopping the runs. And, you know, if they do that in this game, you know, Aaron Rodgers are going to pass the ball. I don't know how many times. I want to see an over and under what they expect for that. Because you look at this game, if they do shut down the run game, they're going to pass the ball a lot. They're obviously looking at tight ends a lot. Defensively,
I'm concerned about the defense.
Yeah, so am I. I'm just saying both sides still need to determine what they are. But I think defensively, against a guy like Jordan Love, I'm going to do what I think they're best at doing is getting after the quarterback. That's what they did well. When they're going well, that's what they do well. I'll figure out ways. If I'm Terrell Austin / Mike Tomlin, they got to figure out ways to come after him. I know he can scramble. I understand that.
Yeah.
But you can't sit there and worry about that. You got to go after him, disrupt pass routes. I like to see press coverage. I do not like to see guys just running free all the time. And if they looked at the game tape, and I'm sure they will, slant patterns over the middle kill the Steelers. They just do not stop them well.
I see similar offenses here. The Packers don't really have a star receiver. They have a pretty good run game.
Good tight end.
They have a good tight end. Josh Jacobs has been good, not great. I think he's averaging under 4 yards a carry. Love's been good, but it's not a great offense. Just like the Steelers. It's a good offense. It's a good offense so far. And they're a well-rounded team. I think they're top 10 in scoring offense, top 10 in scoring defense. They have a superstar in Micah Parsons, who's coming off a great, great game. And I think top 10 quarterback, Jordan Love, I think so.
Yeah, he's on the edge if he isn't there, just because he's somewhat erratic. There have been games that I look at and I say, what's he doing out there? You know, like most quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But he's very talented. And a lot of people had him as an MVP candidate coming into the season. So the respect is there, too.
And I look at the Steelers' schedule, and I see a horrible win over the Jets to open the year. I see a 14-point loss. I see a win over New England, in which Drake May, who, by the way, is the latest star. He's the newest star in the NFL.
And that's why they're, what are they, 5-2 or 6-2, yeah. Whatever they are, 5-2.
They put the ball on the ground, credit to the Steelers, I guess, but he absolutely diced them up. I don't think that was a hugely encouraging win. And then Minnesota, I thought, was a good performance overall that turned a little sour late. Cleveland's Cleveland, and then this disaster. Yet they sit here 4-2, and like I said, the lens sort of shifts every week. But it can shift in a positive direction. They come out with a command performance, and they beat the Packers convincingly. Then nobody remembers the Bengals, right?
It's a week-to-week narrative. This is how we go around here and around the NFL. One week, you're on top of it. You know, two straight wins. Everybody's thinking this is going to be an easy game against Cincinnati. And then all of a sudden, you're hitting the face with this. And now you wonder what they are after that. So if they win against Green Bay, they'll have a lot of momentum going into the Colts game. And I got to believe they'll be up for these. They're both big games. This team has to. And the fact that they had a mini bye here, again, Tomlin's record on mini byes is much better than most. So I'm surprised that Green Bay is favored by 3 points in this game. I thought that was a little bit much just because they're playing in Pittsburgh. It's a Sunday night. The numbers all bode well for the Steelers on Sunday night. And yet Green Bay's a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by that?
Yes. It's interesting. But everybody saw the Cincinnati game, Bob. And I just read the schedule. Like, which one of the Steelers' games has you convinced that they're really good? My answer would be none.
The one that's closest to it was the first half against Minnesota.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most complete.
Yeah.
But it's erratic, again.
You're going against Carson Wentz, a rusty Carson Wentz on top of that.
Right. So,
I guess he's always rusty.
So they're going to get a run of quarterbacks here. Here are the next three quarterbacks. You know about Jordan Love. And then
next
you have
four.
Danny Dimes.
Read your next five. Next six.
Well, exactly. You can go that. Then you have Herbert. Then you have Flacco again.
Yep.
Then you have Caleb Johnson, who's doing better than most people.
Williams, four in a row.
What did I say, Johnson? Williams.
Yeah. I don't think Caleb Williams has dropped a kickoff this year.
And then Josh Allen. And then you get back to Lamar.
Yes.
Because then I wonder about this 1-5 team. I've watched closely these odds. Somehow they're still hanging around, and people think at 1-5 they can still either win this division or get into the playoffs, both of which are going to be tough to do at 1-5.
Nick Kostos was on here Friday trying to convince me that the Ravens are going to win all these games the rest of the
year. Their defense cannot make you think that. If you watch their defense, more than their offense,
it's horrifying,
they need Lamar
Bob.
Jackson. But
they need Dean Pease back. I didn't realize that he came in last year,
remember,
helped
that whole
them.
Brouhaha, Dean Pease.
And then left.
Yeah.
He hasn't been with them
Maybe
this year.
Maybe he'll be back.
Man, if he's not, he should be. And they have a game against the Bears. Like, what makes Nick Kostos or anybody else think that the Ravens are just going to have an easy time of it with the Bears because Lamar's back? Not me. I don't think
I wouldn't think that either. But I also think if they win that game, then they can go on a little bit of a streak here. And things change quickly if they do.
Maybe. Then they go into Miami. They should win that. But
what
then, then they go into Minnesota.
Is.
That's not.
Well, Minnesota's not
game.
Been all that good either. They lost yesterday to the Eagles, and I thought they were.
And then the Ravens go into Cleveland. So I'm not. Here's the thing: their margin for error is near zero.
Right.
Near
That's
zero.
What 1-5 does to you. You cannot. They have to win. They can sustain, I think, one loss.
They have the Steelers twice, New England, and Green Bay, and at Minnesota and Chicago left on their. It's just not realistic. You can't start one. There's a reason. Only four teams have ever done it.
Right.
Started 1-5 and made the playoffs. Four teams ever.
And none of them have won a championship. Four got to the playoffs, but that was it.
And I think that Bills game crushed them emotionally, and then they were crushed physically after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't know. That first game of the season really did kill them. That took a lot of starch out of them, the way they lost that game. And honestly, Henry has not been the same running back since then.
No,
he's been affected by it. I think he runs differently because he is so aware that he can't fumble. He fumbled three straight games.
Plus, him and Lamar are the synchronicity there and how they work off of each other, I think, is just critical for Derrick Henry. And he's reached that magical age. Like he was, I thought he was an MVP candidate last year. He was so great. I don't know how long you can go, but he did have 122 against the Rams.
He did.
And their defense improved in that game. But you're just not winning with Cooper Rush or Tyler Huntley. You're just not. But Bob, what do they have? Two more losses and they can still make the playoffs probably?
That may be a stretch. We'll see.
I think 10-7 gets you in, don't you?
Maybe. It depends on how the rest of this goes. But sick. I mean, if they can just lose one, but that's a hefty assignment to lose one.
Oh, you know what? Who are we kidding? Limits. We all know where the AFC is headed. The whole season.
They weren't in your bubble. You took them out. You burst the bubble. You said the Chiefs are dogs.
Yeah,
is what
I
you
did.
Said.
It's all
did you
headed,
say dogs?
It's no. Yes, he did. It's the Chiefs. That's where we're all headed again because in a year where they might have taken a step back, so did the entire AFC. And some people think they're better. And Mahomes is back to being an MVP candidate.
Oh, incredible yesterday.
And he's got all his weapons. Now Hollywood Brown, all of a sudden, who wasn't healthy a lot of last year, he's a weapon.
How about
so
Rashee Rice?
Rashee Rice comes back.
And
Juju.
Then Thornton's been tremendous.
Worthy.
Travis Kelce looks like he's 85.
But he'll get his four or five catches and they'll be big ones.
We're talking about the same things.
Same.
Can we hear from him?
And over here again.
We're sitting here again. Talking about the same things. Another loss for him this weekend. Huh?
Yeah, how about that? They're not doing so well. How many firings have we seen in college football?
Billy Napier was fired. The Colorado State coach, I think, was fired.
Mike Norvell will be ultimately, too, at Florida State.
Brian Kelly needs to go. You should see the reaction.
Do you think the people of Wisconsin are looking back and say, why did we get rid of Paul Christ?
No.
No,
I don't think so any more than the people at Pitt
are. They have Luke Fickell's going completely fickled.
I know. They're in a fickle right now that they're not getting out of.
Fickle is in a pickle, Bob.
Who else? Brian Daboll should be fired like 10 minutes ago.
There's your interception by Jackson Dart, right? That was a terrible. I mean, of all the throws he made, that guy standing right there, he had to have seen
but
him.
But he came back, Bob, and drove him down the field.
He converted a fourth and 19.
He
got a big PI on that, though. I don't know.
I know, but he also converted fourth and 19 and ran it in.
No, I'm not taking anything away from him. He did a very good, and this is what you're talking about here.
That was a horrible interception.
That's the same interception.
Anyway, Off the Top is presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. A giant game for the Steelers coming up Sunday night. The entire country's going to be focused, laser focused, you might say, Bob, on this one. It's Aaron Rodgers with Micah Parsons coming after him. It's Steelers, Packers, two of your flagship franchises. It's a night game. It's a prove it game for the Steelers. I think it's their highest profile game since Brady and the Patriots came here in 2017. They were 10-2. They were 10-3. The Steelers were 11-2 at the time, and we all know what happened with Jesse James in that game. This is why you lift all them weights, Bob, right? Games like this?
It is. And under the lights, big audiences, great crowd. I mean, it's going to be wonderful to watch. I love games like this.
Are the Steelers going to get exposed?
No, I think they're going to win.
Or shut some mouths?
What do you think? I think they're going to win. I think they're going
to
bounce back.
I haven't decided yet.
And then I think I have a different opinion than probably the next week.
What?
I think in these next two, they'll probably go 1-1.
Yeah. And then the Chargers at the Chargers in another night game. But this one is big. 412-928-9370. And it's also big from a Steelers standpoint in terms of what are they actually? And it's a giant swing game. You know, I know it's only one game, but you're 5-2. With two really tough games ahead compared to 4-3, if the Bengals beat the Jets, if the Ravens get back on track, if the Browns win again like they did, everything looks muddled. Everything looks different. You got to give yourself a cushion. Giant game. 928-9370. What are you watching? I'm watching Bob?
Worst loss ever. The New York Post back headline.
Do you think that was worse though than the miracle at the Meadowlands?
No, I think that was different kind of circumstances, but that was, I mean, you never expected that. You never expected that to happen. When it happened, how it happened.
Yeah.
But to me, this was just a collapse. When you say worst loss, define something worse than leading by 19 points.
Literally, the only thing I could think of is a kneel-down situation where you fumble and the other team runs it in. Well, that's the only scenario I think that would be worse than this.
Well, all I know is Brian Daboll's going to have a hard time trying to rally the troops after this one.
I don't see how.
Did you see the post game? They had, you know, people in the tunnel as a couple of guys. Brian Burns was running back there and saying, I can't believe what kind of defense are we? He was like questioning everything.
Yeah, they only rushed three.
Yes.
Dropped eight, and the Giants players were ripping
them
for
that. And Bo Nix is why he just took as much time. You give any good quarterback time, somebody's going to break free and he'll find them. And that's, you know, again, that's what kind of the Steelers did in this game about Flacco. Give him time. Yeah. He's going to carve you up. You just can't do that.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking about this being the Steelers' highest profile game, maybe in a decade, maybe since 17 when Tom Brady and Jesse James collided on that fateful day at the artist formerly known as Heinz Field, Bob. There have been other big ones, but this one just feels like the entire NFL world is going to have its eyes on this game to see an all-time great. A legend, really, in Aaron Rodgers going against his former team who made one of the biggest trades in recent NFL memory. And Micah Parsons is coming off a 3-sack game, two good teams, two flagship NFL franchises with legendary pasts colliding here. This is gigantic, Bob. And it's huge for the Steelers because we don't know what we have yet. Is it more of a 4-3, yeah, another 9-8, 10-7, 8-9, whatever it's going to be year? Or are they really good? I can't tell. I'm not optimistic based on their last outing. I can tell you that.
Well, I think they've made it so that we don't know. And in the next four games, we'll get a better understanding given the level of competition, which increases. The only way this would have been even more impactful as far as a pre-hype game is if the Steelers had won impressively against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Now, they're 5-1.
Yeah.
You got 4-1-1. Two teams that once met for a Super Bowl where Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback on the other side of it, and he has his chance to do this. I go back to the beginning of the season because we did not know that Aaron Rodgers was going to sign here at the time, and neither apparently did the NFL. That first game against the Jets was still a 1 o'clock game. I thought it would be switched tonight. He has this ability, this impactful demeanor in the way he plays and how he lives his life, and people are always talking about Aaron Rodgers. And now he's off to this great start with 14 touchdowns, is it now, after four in Cincinnati? Some of the better numbers you'll see around the NFL against the team that let him go in favor of Jordan Love. I think it's going to be outstanding atmosphere.
Bob, I'm trying to figure out, and luckily I have a phone which helps me do these things. Aaron Rodgers is on pace for how many touchdowns right now?
It's got to be 32. What's he has?
I think
14.
It's right around 40.
Is it that high?
It's 40. Yeah. He's on pace for 40 touchdowns. 39.6.
That's
Bob.
Pretty. And no one would have taken that bet if you had to pick a number.
That's amazing.
No, but it's. I mean, his passes. Look at the two passes he made to Freiermuth. I thought were just into traffic, but he put him in a place that only Pat could get him. That was it. Dynamic throws, and then Broderick Jones nearly ended his career. I can't believe that he did that. But he's all excitable. But you don't tackle the quarterback who had 2 years ago Achilles problems.
Are we talking about this enough? Do you realize, first of all, how many Steelers quarterbacks ever have had 40 touchdown passes in a season? Wrong.
I would imagine just one.
None.
None? Not even Ben?
How many Steelers quarterbacks have had 35 touchdown passes in a season limits?
Wrong. One. Ben.
None. Run. None. Wrong. None. I should have said. Ben's career best was 34, and that was the Steelers' record. If I would have told you on the day Rodgers signed that he was going to smash their single-season record for touchdown passes, I think we all would have been quite happy, Bob. Yes?
Yes, and surprised. I wouldn't have, you know, what was your thought coming into this? I know what I thought.
I didn't think he could. I thought he was going to be late-stage Ben, like he would be okay,
right.
but.
But he's been much better than that. He's also showing you his ability to get out of, you know, move out of the pocket, make throws
more
on the
more
fly.
More each week, yeah.
And that 70-yard throw at the end of the game, that was stunning to me. I thought
there was more of a chance of bust than boom with him.
Certainly. I mean, just because of the age and coming off what he's coming off. But, man, that's so far so good. And you talked earlier about the Steelers' future plans for a quarterback. Is the immediate future another return of Aaron Rodgers?
Could be. I mean, at this point, what's the alternative? Let's hit the phones, Bob.
Let's go to our guy, Robin West Mifflin, to chime in.
Hey, Rob.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, good morning, folks. How y'all doing, man?
Good.
After watching this week's football, man, I'm totally convinced. I know my man, City Limits, is that Kansas City's still the best team in the AFC. I know we're all still waiting for the slipper to fall off Daniel Jones and them, but I watched that whole game yesterday, man. If they stay healthy, they're going to definitely be a problem. But Jonathan Taylor, you know, he always stumble up and miss a couple games every year. But a lot of people ain't talking about it, man. But the Colts look real, real good. And it's time for
Tyler Warren, too. Big time.
Harbaugh, man. Harbaugh's fool's gold, man. Like, him and Herbert, man, they're fool's gold. Like, I'm not impressed with them. And like I said a couple weeks ago, man, you know, the division was wide open because, I told Joe and y'all that Joe Burrow gets hurt every year. I wasn't wishing an injury on him or anything, but it was wide open. But you know, sitting at 5-1 would have been a lot better at 4-2 going into this game. But I just want to take y'all thoughts on how y'all think the AFC is shaping out, and y'all think the Colts is nobody's really talking about them because they look real good yesterday.
Just the way you do from here, Bob. When we talked about it in the first segment, thanks for the call, Rob. It's all adding up to Kansas City again.
Indy will be a player in this, though. I believe they have sustainability. Shane Steichen has made things easier for Daniel Jones, and you can tell his talent has taken over. And they have a good offense to begin with Jonathan Taylor operating at his best. So I'm not so sure of their defense yet. I'm going to wait and see as this season goes on. But they're scoring points, but it's still Kansas City. I mean, when you look at the number of eligibles that he utilizes, and now with Rice back, I mean, it's almost like pick your poison. How do you defend them?
And you can tell he's feeling it, and he knows. Yeah. He knows that this is probably his best assortment of weapons in a couple of years.
Yes.
And Rice just came back yesterday. It's wildly depressing. Hopefully they'll have to go on the road and it won't be the Arrowhead Invitational again. Limits, let's do a little six-pack of questions. Burning hot steel. There we go. Ron's probably 11 deep in Fort Myers already, Bob, right?
One per hour?
Yeah.
Yes, we're 11 hours in.
Concern level with TJ Watt. This is an interesting story to me. He only has 4 sacks. The leader in the NFL has 9. TJ's way down, tied for 19th. Byron Young also has 9 for the Rams. Benito has become the AFC guy with 8. It's not like TJ, he's still only kind of one great game off being among the leaders, but something doesn't quite feel right, especially coming off that last game. Tackles for loss, TJ is way down at 27th with just 5. Nick Herbig has more tackles for loss and sacks than TJ. So concern level 1 to 5 for TJ as far as the question being, is he still an elite defensive player of the year type of guy?
I would say 4. I still believe he is. I still think what's happening here is, first of all, I thought the Steelers were going to move him around a little bit to take some of the, you know, defensive or the offensive play calling away from him, which is what they've done. They double team him at times. They run away from him. That's still a sign, and that's playing right into Nick Herbig, who's been somebody who's like a Tasmanian devil out there. He's just making plays that when he gets in there, he didn't have enough of them in this last game for me. But I think he still has an impact on what goes on, even if he's not showing up statistically. But when you're making $40 million a year, you have to show up statistically too. I think that's also on their defensive coaches to come up with a way to move him around and free him up. Schematics matter here in this kind of stuff. You can't just put him in the same position if everyone is going to go in the other direction and avoid him.
All right. So in all of that, Bob, is he having a disappointing start? Or is it sounds to me like you think it's more about the way he's being deployed than his actual play. I think he was practically invisible in a lot of one-on-one situations against Amarius Mims. I'm disappointed. I think this is a disappointing start by TJ Watt. And there is some level of concern once you crack 30. Is he the same guy? I'm not going to go there fully. Like I said, one giant game and he's up among the sack leaders again. But I do have a level of concern that he may have slipped just a bit. I do.
And I understand that. But what I'm telling you is I still think he can disrupt game plans because of how they focus on him.
Not if they can block him one-on-one.
Well, that happens from time to time. It does. But I also think when they're running the ball left as much as they do, it kind of that's why they experimented with this a little bit in training camp, and they haven't gone back to it. He's lining up the same way, and I think it makes it a little easier for opposition to make sure you take care of him. Don't let him impact the game, and they haven't. That's on him too, absolutely. I still think at the end of the year, though, you're going to find games that he will impact. The
so
one in Minnesota was one of those games.
So
I thought against Cleveland.
He did save his biggest play the other night for their only stop on Cincy's last 8 drives was him and I think Cam combined on a sack. So even then he came up with a big play, but he was mostly invisible. And I'll tell you what, it's not helping him that the guy on the other side is completely invisible. And that's Alex Highsmith with zero pressure. So the top of the hour, maybe a bigger and related question. Where was Nick Herbig the other night? And is he better than Alex Highsmith? Should he actually start over Alex Highsmith?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.